Well, guys, it's good to see everybody. You doing okay? Hey. There's my buddy right there, all the way from the islands, man. Anyway, it's good to see everybody here. I'm glad you're here. You know, one of the things about science that I love is we discover new things all the time. You know, for a long time, people thought the world was flat, right? And then they determined that, it's not actually flat, it's actually round. Now, it's funny because in today's society, there are a lot of people that have gone back to, the world is flat. But if you climb to the top of Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world, and you look, you can actually see the curvature of the earth. So unless you have climbed to the top of Mount Everest, you'll never convince, not seen that, then don't try to convince yourself that the world is flat. Does that make sense? Anyway, the whole idea about science that I'm getting to is, for a long time, science, we thought that everything in the universe revolved around us, around the earth, right? But Galileo and Copernicus, as they looked out, guess what they discovered? It doesn't revolve around us. We actually revolve around other things in the universe. The problem is, as humans, a lot of times we think everything does, in fact, revolve around us. How I feel, what I think. That's the whole idea in our society today. You know, people say, hey, can't we all get along? It's like, yeah, we can all get along as you believe what I believe. Then we can get along. We even do that with Jesus sometimes. We say, you know, Jesus, we want to follow you as long as you're going in my direction, you know? And we found out that we are not, in fact, the center of the universe, that God is in the center of the universe. The problem with that is we don't like to not be in charge. Okay, I'm one of those kind of crazy people that if you tell me not to do something, immediately it's like, was that a double dog dare? I think some of you are like that. How many of you have ever seen wet paint? And what's the first thing you do? You touch it to see if it's in fact wet or if it's dry, right? Okay, what about, I was in a place where they had thermostat, and they had a box over it. Had a big sign on it that says "Do not touch," and I just went, boop, boop. And, you know, I'm not touching the thing because there's a case on it. And they said, "Yeah, ha ha ha." You know, they tell you not to do something. What do we want to do? We want to do it. Don't do this. We go and do that because nobody is the boss of me. I'm going to be my own god in a sense. I'm going to do whatever I want. Okay, we're all wired that way. We're all built that way. Okay. The problem is we see worship the same way. Well, if I make it to church, fine. If I don't make it to church, fine. If I worship today, it's okay. Or, you know what, I'll just worship somewhere else. Or we say, like, hey, man, we're going to have a prayer service. And then we hear, well, I can just pray at home. Yeah, you can, but you don't. You know? So it's like, you know, there's power in coming together and worshiping a God that created us and made us. We're in our series, Lessons from the Psalms. We're going to be in Psalm 95, so go ahead and turn to page 1032 in your Bible. Anyway, some of you go ahead and turn there. We're going to be in Psalm 95. Man, we're going to take it verse by verse. We're going to split through it, and we're going to go through this. So, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Paul, I know what this says. It's the Psalms, but that's the Old Testament. We're under grace now. We don't have to listen to the Old Testament. Whatever. Well, then here's the point. Exactly what we're talking about today is in Hebrews chapter 3. So if you're offended by the Old Testament, guess what? Turn to the New Testament. The same thing's in there. All right? So let's just get that out of the way. All right, here we are. We are to worship God or else. Worship God or else. Let me break this psalm down for a little bit. There are three kind of distinct parts. The first part is like an Oreo cookie. You have praise God. Then why do we praise God? Praise God. That's an Oreo cookie. Praise God, why we praise Him, and then praise Him, okay? Then, starting in verse 7a, we start to get a little bit of a warning, and the rest of the psalm ends, well, actually, it ends pretty bad, I think. I wish there was a good news at the very end. There is for some of us, but not for all of us, so we're going to dive right in. Hebrews 3, chapter 12, verse 12 says this, though, take care, brethren, that there not be any of you in evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. In other words, let's open our hearts this morning and be ready to receive God's word, okay? First thing, we're going to worship God with rejoicing. Verses 1 and 2, Psalm 95. Oh, come, let's come together, let's gather, right? Let us sing to the Lord, that's Yahweh, big Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come, okay, come, right? Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. There's our, let's worship God, okay? Again, let's break it down. Oh, come, let us sing to God, Yahweh, the Lord, right? Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. And that's what we did this morning. What kills me sometimes, God tells us, Jesus tells us that there will be a time when we will worship God with spirit and in truth. So many times people come into churches and say, man, I didn't get anything out of church today. That worship was horrible. Well, you know what? It's what you're putting in. Worship isn't about you. It's not what you get out of it. It's what we do to a living, holy God. Do you see that? We should be coming in here making a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. And I know if my dad, he made a joyful noise every week. He couldn't sing a note, really. He picked one note and he just kind of, you know, he just hit that one note the whole time. Praise God from whom all bless. But man, he sang it to the top of his lungs, right? This is who it was about. He praised God with a joyful noise, right? And he came into his presence and it was awesome. Look at this though. Rock of our salvation. Think about in the when Israel is coming out of Egypt and they're in the desert and they're literally dying of thirst. And Moses makes water come out of a rock, right? He brings the water out, and then God tells him to do it again, just speak to the rock, but he does, and he bangs on the rock, and water comes out. It gives them life. Water, the rock of their salvation in the desert was a real rock. It was God working through that. But Paul tells us in Corinthians that Christ is our rock. He is the solid rock on which we stand. And out of Christ flows rivers of living water. Living water. So we should be excited about that. Let's come sing to God. And let us make a joyful noise to that rock of our salvation who gives us everlasting life. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. And let's make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Now let's break it down into why. For the Lord. For the Lord, Yahweh, for God is a great God and a great king above all gods. And in his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his. He has made it. And in his hands he has formed the dry land. The majesty of God, our creator. Majestic, the heavens. We see that. Did y'all, I sent out a thing today, man, our clocks have changed. The day, it's a beautiful, the sun's out for once, you know. In Georgia, that's a good thing. It's like, what? I thought we were in Seattle. I thought something all got flipped around. But we had sun out. Did you see the sun this morning? Did y'all get up early enough to see that? It looked like the sky was on fire. It was beautiful. And that's our God that does that, that created that, that put that in motion, that created that for us. So he created the mountains. He created the seas. He created all of this stuff. That's why we praise him. Psalm 113 says this, from the rising of the sun to the setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like our God? Who is enthroned on high? Who else can match this majesty? Psalm 145 says this, great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. It doesn't matter how high you go, how low you go, he's there and his glory is there. So we worship God. We worship him for all of these things he's done, our creator, our maker. Yeah, look at verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, our creator. He spoke. Everything came into being. When it came to creating us in his image, he formed us out of the clay. He blew his sacred breath into us to give us life. There is none, no creation made like you. Do you understand that? You were made in the image of God Almighty Himself. He is our maker, but look what it says. Oh, come, and that means to gather. Well, I can do this on my own. Yeah, but you maybe, but you're not. You need to come and gather, right? Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The kneel, all of it, the word for worship there, the word for bow down, and the word for kneel means that we need to be prostrate. That's a hard word for me. To be prostrate before God. We fall down and we get low. You know, a lot of times when we're worshiping God, man, we're up high, we're doing that, and we should be exuberant. We should be filled with joy. We should be giving God all of our energy, all of the glory that's due Him. But this verse here is, man, you need to come before Him realizing where we're at, that He is God and we are not. He is God and He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. That's the God that we serve. Verse 7, for He is our God, that's small, and that's Adonai, for He is our Master, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. That He's our good shepherd. That's one of the things that they call Jesus. He's our good shepherd. What does the shepherd do? Watches over the flock. A lot of times in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, it says they go out and they come in. They go out and they come in. When I had the chance to go to the Holy Land, one of the places that we went to was an actual village kind of set up like it would have been set up in the time of Jesus' day. And there were sheep, and those sheep stunk, and the sheep would just sit around like that. But when the shepherd said, like, you know, whatever he said in Hebrew, I don't know, he said it, they took off. Like, they knew where they were going. They ran right to the pen. They got in there, and they stood there waiting for the shepherd to close the gate and to feed them. When He says, my sheep know my name, it's important that we hear His voice because He knows our name. He brings us out. He takes us back in. He watches over us. Another thing a shepherd does is protect you. Jesus protects us. God watches over us and protects us. His eye is always on us. One of the stories in the New Testament I love is after Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he went up to the mountain while the disciples went out in a boat in the Sea of Galilee. And we know the Sea of Galilee is really small, but it's really not that deep. And so when the wind comes down from the mountains, it literally will bring waves 20, 25 feet high. It will capsize the little boats that those people are on, right? Jesus goes up into the mountains for a place, and it says He saw the disciples in their boat not going anywhere. His eye, even though He was spending time alone with God, refreshing, He kept His eyes on His disciples. And that's when He went walking across the water in the middle of the storm and scared the mess out of Peter and the rest of them, but He never took His eyes off of them. You may be going through a storm in your life, but He is watching over you. He is protecting you. You are in His sight. That's important. That's important. So, does it matter if we worship Him or not? Well, let's look at 7b to 8a. It says, today, if you hear His voice, what? Do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. How many of us, I guess I heard a story one time. It says this, that a man was walking outside of a church and he saw Satan right outside the door. And Satan was just kind of leaning up against the church like this. And the guy goes, aren't you scared because all those people were in there worshiping? He said, I'm not worried at all because today is the Lord's day. Tomorrow, they're mine again. In other words, when we leave here, you know, don't get so excited. Like, yeah, we worship Him. I praise the Holy God. And then as soon as we go out the door, it's like, oh, I can't believe my kids. I can't believe all this, blah, 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 blah. And we're pulled right back and sucked back into the world and everything else that goes with that. Praising God is an everyday, every moment experience. If your best worship experience is here on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you need a tune-up. Or check up from the neck up. You need a heart change. We should be praising God in moments. There are times where we cry out to him because we don't feel, we can't make it on our own. We don't feel his connection. And then there are times that we're so exuberant that I love what Billy Graham does sometimes. You know, his plan for reading the Bible was this, and this. And it says sometimes when he would read a passage, he would be so moved, he'd have to put his Bible down, just get up and walk around because he was so overwhelmed in that moment. How many of us get overwhelmed by reading the Word of God himself? I mean, this is what he says to us. That's why we praise him. Today, if you hear his voice, and every time you open the Bible, God speaks, right? So today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, okay? So now the rest of the psalm talks about Israel in the wilderness. So I'm going to read it for you right here. It says, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, which meant struggle, right? As on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. Okay? In other words, I fed them. I provided them manna. I provided them water. I provided them safety. I provided them shelter. I brought them out of captivity. And every step along the way, they turned away from me and did what they wanted to do. Right? When your fathers, they put me to the test, they put me to the proof, though they had seen my work, they saw that. Listen to this. This is heartbreaking. For 40 years, I loathed that generation. Could you imagine God Almighty? God is love, right? Perfect love. But can you imagine God, who is love, loathing you? Because you are every day putting him to the test. Every day you are denying his presence. Every day you look at the blessings he continues to pour out on you, and yet you still harden your heart. To have God, you know, to go on judgment day and stand before God, and he goes, you know, Paul, for 40 years I loathed you. That would be, okay, send me, just kill me, extinguish me, you know, do whatever you want. How heartbreaking, but it gets even worse. And they said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore, listen to this, I swore in my wrath. God is angry. God to make an oath, I swore in my anger, in my wrath, that they shall never enter my rest. And then it ends. And these are psalms, right? Psalms. This says, let us sing a song of praise. And you're going like, oh, come into his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, don't enter my rest. That's how it ends. I wish there was another verse 11 that said, but I sent my son and I gave them new life and I gave them hope. And because I'm a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances, and I'm a God that loves these people, but it doesn't. It ends hard, like the book of Malachi. Like, I'm gone. Jesus says that in the New Testament. You know, people that tell you, well, you know, I love Jesus, the things that he said, because, you know, Jesus was great. Well, you know what Jesus said on that day? Some people are going to look at me and say, Lord, Lord, and I'm going to say, who are you? I don't know you. Depart from my presence, you wicked servants. What? Didn't we do all this stuff? It doesn't matter if you did all that stuff, because you did it for you, not for me, not for the people you serve. You did it for you. And it goes back to how we're wired. We want to be in charge. We want to be in control. So as we look at that last little, that one verse, when you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. Let's break that down and then just kind of talk about this for a minute. In Psalm 95 and in Hebrews 3, this warning is directed to God's people. It is possible to be God's people and yet to continue to focus on ourselves so much that we deny him through our actions, maybe not necessarily our words. So let's talk about these warnings that he gives us in verse 95. He says, if you hear my voice, right? The first one is today. Today, if you hear my voice. Today. A lot of us think like, okay, I can do what I want to today because there'll always be tomorrow. I shared with you just last week or the week before, two people that, one person that I knew, they found their daughter in Cincinnati, dead. And then an 18-year-old had committed suicide, and I had to go grieve with that family. Then I talked to, during the game last night, I was getting some text from another person, a lady that used to keep the books for me for volleyball and everything. Found out she died. She went in the hospital, and they were treating her for one thing, something completely different, and she died. They couldn't revive her. And, you know, her daughters played volleyball for me. She was just, it's like, we're not promised tomorrow. I don't know. We say that, and we think we know that, but we're not promised tomorrow. Man, I'm in good health. It doesn't matter. You may be doing all the right things, taking all the right vitamins, but you're not promised tomorrow. So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but follow him today. Do it now. Do it immediately. Get that taken care of. Then the second thing is be sensitive about it. Open up your ears. Make your heart soft. If you hear his voice, Hebrews introduces this quote from Psalm 95. It's almost word for word, but in 3:7, it starts off with, it says, just as the Holy Spirit said, and then it says, today, if you hear his voice. So it's not just the psalmist saying this. The psalmist was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he wrote this. The writer of Hebrews is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying today, if you hear his voice, listen. Don't harden your heart. Let your heart be soft, fertile soil so God's seed can be planted in us and we could bear good fruit. Jesus says this in Mark, if anyone has ears to hear, let him what? Hear. If you got ears, just listen. He says this in Matthew, while hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand. And then in Luke, he says this, take care how you listen. How are we listening? Are we listening, but we're not letting it sink in because we really don't want it to affect us? The third thing, do not harden your hearts. It's heart related. Man, we have been studying the Old Testament and everything, and one of the things that we hear over and over and over is the heart is more deceitful than anything. It's our heart. In other words, I can give you lip service and you kind of hear what I'm saying, but if my heart's not there, you're going to know that's not important to me. It's our heart that gives us away. Israel in the wilderness, they're wandering around, is due to their heart wandering around. Like, yeah, we appreciate the manna. Oh, we appreciate the quail. We appreciate the water. Hey, thanks for getting us out of Egypt, but we really wish we were back in Egypt. Oh, look at this god Baal at Peor. You know, they're doing this ritual prostitution thing. Let's go and do that, okay? Till God sends a curse and kills over 24,000 of them, because that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Their heart is wandering around for things of this world. Yeah, God, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, but I want more. God, I asked for this and you provided, but not the way I wanted it provided. God, I prayed to you for a job, and all these job offers came in, but I just didn't like them. It's not what I really wanted to do. I want something where I can feel good about it. In the Bible, the heart refers to our total being, our mind, our soul, our strength, our will. Proverbs 4 says this, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. From our heart. Jesus says, from within, out of our hearts of men, proceed the evil thoughts, the fornications, the thefts, the murders, the adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness, all from our heart. It gives us away. He told the Pharisees, he said, these Pharisees, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are what? They're far from me. Oh, yeah, God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. No, oh, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. In vain they worship me, he says. That's hard. Hebrews says this, take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you any evil, unbelieving hearts that fall away from the living God. Don't harden your heart. The next one, number four, do not be like Israel in the wilderness. I mean, he gives us the historical evidence. Paul tells us these things happened in the Old Testament to set an example for our instructions so that we would not fall into the same sins. That's what he says in Corinthians. Think about this. They sent the spies into the promised land that God says, I'm giving you this land. So Moses sends these spies into the land. 10 of them come back and say, well, we can't go in there. Those people are big. We can't go in there. Those cities are big. 2 people came back and said, man, we can take it because God's given it to us. Look at this food. This is awesome. Those are the only 2 that made it from that first generation, Caleb and Joshua. They were the only ones that made it. Even Moses didn't make it. We learn from history. We learn from mistakes. We serve a God that forgives, and he's a God, again, of second, third, fourth, fifth, as many chances and opportunities as you need, but he will not leave the guilty unpunished. So don't harden your heart and don't be like Israel in the wilderness. And then the final one, therefore I swore in my wrath that they will not enter my rest. God's anger, my wrath, I swore in my wrath, you're not going to make it. I've had it. There were many times God reached that level of, what have I done? Who are these people? We see that with Noah and the flood, where there was no one righteous except for Noah and his family. We see where he says, you know, these stiff-necked people, I'm gonna destroy them. And Moses had to get on his face before God and said, God, remember your promise to Abraham. Be patient with these people. So God says, okay, I'll withhold my anger. And then Moses went down there and was angry at him. You know, it's like, look, let me intervene for you here. That's the God that we serve. Sometimes we think we're just playing a game that God serves us. God doesn't serve us. We serve God. We serve God. You know, whenever I read this psalm, I always get caught up short by verse 11. Like I said, I want it to end happy. I want it to end as the song of praise, you know. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is great. A king above all kings, and he rules over all from the deepest caves to the highest hills. The sea is his hands have made it, the land also he formed. Let us bow down before him and worship, O God, our maker. I want it to end there, but it doesn't. Today, you have to decide who you're going to serve. We hear that. Today, do not harden your heart. Are you serving God? Are you expecting God to serve you? Where is your heart in all of this? Because the heart is what reveals our thoughts, our minds, our wills. It's what we're going to be working for. So I want to invite you for these just few moments here to let's get our heart right. Let's come up to the altar or you can stay in your seats, you can whatever, but don't waste this time. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. But open it up and let God speak to you. Oh, Father, we love you and we praise you. And we thank you for who you are, for your words, for your life, for Jesus. Father, I pray for our church and for our congregation that you would move through us, that your Holy Spirit would be free, would fill us, and you would give us peace and passion and strength. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.